This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio, 98.3 and 102.1.
Hi, this is Dr. Bob Fetrakis, bringing you The Other Side of the News. You're listening to WGRN 94.1. And let me begin by saying, democracy is no joke. And here to back me up is the national director of Move to Amend, Caitlin, and I want to get the name right. Is it Saposi Belknap?
Yes, you got it. Thank you so much for having me on, Bob.
All right, Caitlin, what are the goals of Move to Amend? What the hell are we amending?
Well, we're amending the U.S. Constitution. Move to Amend is a campaign to
I'm in on that one. We're going to amend the U.S. Constitution. Okay, I'm with you.
I don't even need to tell you what it is. You're ready to go. we're going to amend the Constitution to make clear that only human beings have constitutional rights, not corporations or other artificial entities, and that money is not speech, so that campaign spending in elections can be regulated or banned, whatever we, the public, would decide through our elected officials. And so the amendment would undo the Supreme Court decision of 2010, but also the underlying doctrines that the Supreme Court created that make that made Citizens United possible in the first place.
When I was in law school on the first day of corporations, one of my least favorite classes, but I did well in it. I still don't know how. But I learned that corporations are legal fictions. So is your group prejudiced against legal fictions, and you don't believe that legal fictions and unnatural artificial entities should have the same rights as flesh and blood people?
Well, I wouldn't say that we're prejudiced. That almost continues to kind of personify the entity. I mean, what our thinking is, and 80% of the American public actually agrees with us, is that only human beings should have constitutional rights. Corporations or other artificial entities, legal fictions, which are created by the government process through chartering or laws, should not have constitutional rights. They may have certain privileges in order to do business. We all know they have limited liability, for example, when you're talking about corporations. And that's not what we're, that's not what our concern is. Our concern is that when corporations especially have constitutional rights, then they are able to use the law, the Constitution, to overturn democratically enacted laws at the local level, at the state level, and in Citizens United case, at the federal level. That was campaign regulation passed by Congress that the Supreme Court ruled unconstitutional because it supposedly violated the rights of corporations and, in the case of Citizens United, other wealthy individuals, too. And so what it means, and this is not the only way that corporations use their constitutional rights. There's numerous other ways. They have dismantled and overruled, you know, numerous instances where the public was trying to protect themselves against some corporations that maybe were acting badly in a community or harming the environment or workers or operating in an unfair way that and a community was trying to protect their local economy and their local businesses. All of these things get overturned by the Supreme Court when corporations have constitutional rights because they say it violates those constitutional rights for us to just assert our will over an entity that we create. Corporations aren't created, you know, in the womb by God or anything like that. They're created by government, and so we need to be able to have control over that institution in a meaningful way, and the only way to do that is to separate them from the Constitution. Corporations are not listed in the Constitution. They were not intended to be part of the Constitution. The Supreme Court has inserted corporations into the Constitution, making democracy basically illegal for the rest of us, and that's what we're trying to rectify. That's what we're trying to fix.
So Move to Amend, the Ohio Network, is having its fifth annual statewide gathering this Saturday, April 1st. And this is not an April Fool's joke. April 1st from 9:30 to 4:30. Doors will open at 8:30 at the First Unitarian Universalist Church, 93 West Weisheimer Road here in Columbus. So there'll be a gathering of people that want to amend the U.S. Constitution. How did we get in this situation? I thought the framers were fearful of large corporate entities, often chartered, you know, by royalty, the king. And how did these entities that I know here in Ohio, it took an act of the state legislature, you know, to sign them into existence. How do these things we feared so much, these unnatural, artificial corporate entities, how did they become so powerful?
Well, you're absolutely right on your history, Bob. At the founding of this country, while there were many things that were not really A-OK in the democracy realm in terms of people's rights, one of the things that the framers of the Constitution did have right to feature, they are an institution that is about concentrating capital and power, needed to be tightly controlled and, you know, kept an eye on through the government process. And so incorporating itself is not a right. You don't just get to be a corporation because you feel like it. You have to apply, and it used to be in many states, including Ohio, that, you know, it was actually a pretty rigorous process to become a corporation. You had to prove that you were serving the public good, and imagine if that was a litmus test for corporations to come into existence today. I mean, we would have such a different world.
Yeah, we'd have three left in Ohio. And they'd all be nonprofit.
Right. Well, or they would be operating completely differently because they wouldn't be able to run roughshod over the political process. I mean, and because they have this, you know, tendency to pull together money, that's what they are. It's pooling money. That's what a corporation is. And sometimes that can be very useful for example, for building big projects and for, you know, expanding. And so we're not anti-corporation, but we are anti the idea that corporations, this property, should have rights. But wealthy corporate owners and lawyers, especially going back all the way 130 plus years to the robber baron era, which was the most corrupt political time in our country, except for maybe, you know, since I've been alive, I'm in my 30s, we're pretty corrupt these days. But, you know, it's called the robber baron era, even in sanitized textbooks, because of the graft and corruption and the railroad companies that had a tremendous amount of power. And they used that power to basically and to create this idea that corporations would have rights, which would then put them basically beyond the bounds of the kind of protections for the public that were originally in place when, you know, this country was first founded. And so, you know, we're trying to get back to that. I'm not a strict constructionalist. I think that there are many things that, you know, the original founders were dead wrong on. So I don't know that we need to worry about claiming legitimacy for this from them. But if you are a big fan of the, you know, so-called founding fathers, it is interesting to know that most of them were very wary of corporations, very concerned about corporate power, which is why corporations are not in the Constitution, and the power to decide how they would operate in society was left to the state over the last 100-plus years. Corporations have been able to whittle away at that regulation and control, and now we're in the situation that we're in now, where they're basically super people who can live forever, exist all over the planet. They're no longer even tied to our country, really, in terms of any kind of loyalty. And anytime we try to, at the risk of them overturning that law through using the Supreme Court. And most of these decisions are 5-4 decisions, and we know that many people on the Supreme Court are, you know, very, very friendly to corporations, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. And so since that robber baron era, they have been able to have successive Supreme Court decisions to really just further and further and further grant them power and take away the power from the public.
Well, one of the things early on, I mean, the framers left them to be chartered under state law, is they had to state their purpose, and they were limited in the amount of capital they could accumulate. And if they violated the purposes, you know, they were operating ultra virus outside their charter, and their charter would be pulled. I mean, since the era of the robber barons, when they began to get these powers, you know, the same as people, is we're in a situation now where in Ohio you don't even have to fill out your purpose. We'll just assume it's for a lawful purpose, even if it isn't. So it seems like there was this tremendous caution against these unnatural entities that seem never to die, and their sole purpose is to maximize profit. So how did that happen legally?
Well, you know, basically conceding away their authority over these entities, and you're absolutely right that, I mean, here in I live in California, and here in California in the late 1870s, we had a constitutional convention in our state, and there's a whole section on corporations in that old Constitution of California that bans corporations from being banks. Banks and corporations were not allowed to mix. Corporations weren't allowed to own other corporations. There's this wonderful language. State will never be so abridged as to serve corporations and the wealthy over the good of the public and the majority. And unfortunately, we've lost that populist democratic sentiment in a lot of ways. I mean, people are outraged, but they you know, most of the time are turning it into sort of cynicism and checking out instead of engaging and asserting they wouldn't exist if we didn't allow them to. It's like a driver's license, you know. I mean, that's how it should be. If you don't have a right to just go driving around. You have to prove that you're going to be responsible. You have to pass a test. And then if you violate the terms of your license, if you drive drunk or speed through red lights, that license can be taken away. And that's how it should work for corporations as well. We're not opposed to corporations existing. Determining the political process for us, because their campaign contributions greatly outnumber ours, to put their cronies in office to dismantle environmental regulations or worker protection, you know, shut down, or, you know, at least at first punished. But it should really be a question whether we should even have out of our control. They're too big, they're too powerful. But that's not true, and that's not how it needs to be. And so that's what Move to Amend is about, reasserting our sovereignty. Because that is the supreme law of the land. That is where we say what we want out of our society. And it's been done before. Amending the Constitution has been done before. We have that right as Americans. And so we need to assert it. The time is really now. We've got environmental collapse and extreme corruption in our government and people checking out left and right. It's really time for us to stand up and say enough is enough.
You're listening to WGRN 94.1. This is The Other Side of the News with Dr. Bob Fitrakis. You're listening to the National Director of Move to Amend, Caitlin Sapozzi-Belknap, who's coming to town on Saturday, April 1st, for the fifth annual statewide gathering of the Move to Amend Ohio Network. And not only that, Caitlin, you've got one of my favorite people in all of politics who, you know, I've known since the late 70s when he was the boy wonder mayor of Cleveland. One of the people I have the highest respect for. Your keynote speaker is none other than Ohio's former long-term congressman till they gerrymandered him out with a abomination known as the snake on the lake, that weird little district that runs along the lake. I'm speaking, of course, of former congressman and presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich. You want to tell the listeners how you managed to get Mr. Kucinich to keynote, and what is he addressing?
Well, our local volunteers with Ohio Move to Amend Deserve Mitch will be speaking about ending corporate personhood and money as speech. He'll be the keynote speaker right in the middle of the day. We're really excited to have the congressman, former congressman, and presidential candidate and champion of the people, Ohio local guy too. And Move to Amend is a grassroots, locally based campaign with volunteers all over the country. So, you know, the meeting that we're having in Columbus is all of our folks in Ohio, and they do amazing work all across the state. And I think that Kucinich was impressed and happy to join us because he is one of the who is willing to stand up and say absolutely corporations should not have constitutional rights and money should not be speech, and we need this constitutional amendment.
And again, he has a long history of standing up to corporations that have abused the public trust, and that goes back for decades with Congressman Dennis Kucinich. It looks like the conference has a variety of other things. Of course, you'll be speaking on Move to Amend's goals and actions. Could you spell out to the listeners what the Move to Amend is doing, not only here in the Buckeye State, but what are you guys doing nationally?
Well, our amendment passed, and so the amendment is called the We the People Amendment, and in the House of Representatives, it's House Joint Resolution 48, and so a lot of what we are doing is trying to, gather co-sponsors and support for that amendment in Congress. But the main way that we do that, as I said, is when you have resolutions all across the country. Over 700, almost 750 communities have passed resolutions calling on Congress to deliver this amendment. In Ohio, we've passed a number of resolutions through ballot initiatives in numerous towns in Ohio. Toledo just had their first Democracy Day, for example, and that's a day where it gets to come together and hear from their elected officials and speak to what they would like to see done as a community to support the We the People Amendment, and that happens every year or every 2 years, depending on the community, to hold our elected officials at the local level accountable too, because even though this is a national campaign as a constitutional amendment, this issue affects local communities increasingly all over the political level. Some of the work that we'll be doing on Saturday includes intersectionality, looking at other issues like immigrant rights and health care and how that connects to corporate constitutional rights, looking at some of the other emerging political movements and how we can work it. And so the only way to get an amendment passed is to build a people.
The conference, which is again on Saturday, April 1st, at the First Unitarian Universalist Church, You talk about a people's assembly and participatory action planning for real democracy. What will people be talking about in that session?
We will be looking beyond the amendment. And, I mean, we really see this amendment as the first step in terms of what's necessary to bring, to make democracy possible. But it's only the first step. So we'll be looking at what other actions should be taken after the amendment passes to further democracy and to build a democracy movement in this country.
You say you have workshops, at least your flyer does, comparing constitutional amendments. What can you tell the listeners about that?
Well, there are other proposals since Citizens United for amendments to the Constitution. Move to amendments. But since then, it's been a number of years, and others have put forward other ideas. Our amendment is the only one that actually will address the underlying doctrines behind Citizens United, corporate constitutional rights and money as speech. But there are other proposals that would just overturn Citizens United and take us back to when Congress could regulate campaign spending. We don't think that goes far enough. We don't think that uses this opportunity as well as we should. But we'll be talking about, you know, some of the other proposals, who's behind them, and why we need the We the People Amendment at the end of the day.
All right. Now, people say that Citizens United allows corporations, essentially, if acting independently, to secretly pour as much money as they want into the American political system. Is that true?
Yeah, basically, in effect, it allows indirect contributions to PACs, political action committees, by corporations and the wealthy individuals, too, which if they operate supposedly separate from a candidate, then they can put unlimited money in, including money from other countries, other governments of countries, and we wouldn't even know. So Citizens United and then a subsequent decision, McCutcheon versus the FCC, that happened a few years later, really just opened the floodgates. I mean, it's not like before Citizens United, the political system was working on behalf of the little guy or the average person. Big money still ruled the day, but it has been exponentially worse since Citizens United, which is why we need to undo that decision, but we also need to undo the underlying doctrines behind it and recognize that the political process has not been working for decades and decades. And amendment, the We the People Amendment, would make it possible for us to build from the bottom up a campaign finance system that doesn't favor the wealthy over the poor and allows more people to participate in running for office, potentially would allow, if we wanted to, publicly funded elections, which have been kind of chipped away at by the Supreme Court, also because they believe money is speech. And so it really would just provide a foundation for us to build a campaign finance system that is about empowering people to participate in our political.
All right. The conference flyer said that your group will be engaging in power mapping. Exactly what will you be doing there?
Well, I imagine that I'm not leading that session, but one of the things that we like to make sure folks know how to do if federal representatives or our state representatives both are needed for a constitutional amendment, or even our local representatives for this, who do these folks serve? Who do these folks work with? Who do these folks know? And who do we know that they know? And how to, whether it's, you know, getting particular endorsements from community organizations that have their ear, or individuals, or just kind of understanding who these leaders are and what might be necessary to move them in our direction. So that's normally what we do in power mapping, and I'm excited that the folks in Ohio, I think, you know, the real goal moving forward here, now that we've done so many local ballot initiatives in Ohio, is to look at potentially a state initiative and state legislation, and also to make sure that all of our congressional representatives in Ohio are champions of House Joint Resolution.
The question of intersectionality, would the issue of gerrymandering be one of those things that would be considered by Move to Amend?
Well, we're a campaign to pass this amendment, and so while we do do a lot of education on the connections to corporate power of other issues, we don't normally take on other issues. And we certainly do solidarity work with other movements and organizations. So gerrymandering is absolutely something that people need to understand, and how it makes it almost impossible to elect new people to Congress, especially, but you know, other races as well. And so it is definitely a barrier to meaningful democracy. It's not an issue that we're working on, but we certainly would support others who are. And I think talking about it, when we're talking about connecting Move to Amend to other issues that are, you know, corporate power driven, that makes sense to fit in there too, and other election reforms that are needed.
It also said you'll be looking at emerging political movements. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, we have so much activity happening for various aspects of social justice in this country. One of Move to Amend's kind of perspectives on that is that really you could look at this all through the lens of, you know, a democracy movement trying to make more democracy for more people. So whether we're talking about Black Lives Matter or our Revolution March or protecting immigrants, all of these issues really are about empowering human beings and our rights. And when you juxtapose that against the fact that corporations have constitutional rights, it really makes more clear how all of this stuff is connected, and how those with a lot of money are really working against the rest of us in all kinds of ways, whether it's private prisons or deportations or you know, just the political process and who gets to participate. So we will be looking at how to connect to these other movements and make alliances, and also pull the lens back further to sort of see how our work is all connected.
Where can listeners go online to check out Move to Amend?
You can go to movetoamend.org, and if you're interested in the meeting on Saturday, it's an open meeting. You don't have to have participated before. We would love to have new folks. And you can find information and RSVP if you go to movetoamend.org/Ohio and then click on the link for the event on Saturday. You can also just RSVP to ohio@movetoamend.org to let us know that you're coming. And even if you still, you know, just want to check it out and aren't quite sure what all this is about, it will be a perfect place to come and learn.
All right, Caitlin Suppose Belknap, the National Director of Move to Amend, 5th Annual Statewide Gathering this Saturday, April 1st, at the First Unitarian Universalist Church. Thanks for being on the show, and why should people get involved with something like this? Isn't it just all too overwhelming?
No, I think that this actually makes things a lot more clear. You know, it's a big deal to pass an amendment. It's not something that you can do easily, but on the other hand, it's actually very common sense and very straightforward. And like I said, 80% of the public agree with us. It's just a matter of making people feel empowered that we can do something about it. So I hope folks will join us on Saturday. It was an honor to speak with you, Bob. I really appreciate and respect all the work you've done on this issue in the past and today. And I hope that we'll see a big crowd on Saturday and look forward to meeting everyone.
All right. Thanks a lot, Caitlin. Come to the Move to Amend 5th Annual Statewide Gathering, Saturday, April 1st, 9:30. At the First Unitarian Church, 93 West Weisheimer Road. Thanks, Caitlin.
Thank you so much.